All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go back to the Old Testament book of Jonah tonight again. And I want to show you something tonight about Jonah and his prayer. You remember we've been discussing chapter 1 and how Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. And that phrase is mentioned a few times in the first chapter. And so he found out real quickly that you can't run from God, all right? The Lord knows where you are. Doesn't matter where you are, the Lord knows where you are. And so, you know, I was thinking about, as Brother Matt was talking about his call and how the Lord wants you to do a certain thing and then leads you to do it. And boy, that's the truth. That's exactly how it works. But there are some times when we think that we know more than God knows. And so the Lord has to show us that that's not the case. And so that's what Jonah had to deal with here. So he's fleeing from God. And so what happens? Well, if you look down at the end of chapter 1, you will see in verse 17, it says, now the Lord. All right, you see up in verse 3, it says that the Lord, or verse 1, it says the Lord came to Jonah. But when the Lord came to Jonah, verse 3 says, but Jonah. All right, so I'm not interested. Don't want to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to do it. And he fled from the presence of the Lord. And so what happens? Well, verse 17, as he's fleeing from the Lord, verse 17, now the Lord. So back to the Lord again. You're not going to outrun God. So what happens? Well, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah, what's the next word?
Prayed.
All right, you remember back in chapter 1, they said, everybody on the boat's praying but you. All right, he was down in the bottom of the boat sleeping. And the captain goes down and tells him, said, look, man, everybody else on this boat is praying except you. Now get up there and pray, because we're all going to die here. So we all should be praying. Well, they were praying to their small g gods, you'll remember, all right. And Jonah was the one who was in touch with God. God had spoken to him. He's the only one on the boat who could pray and get a hold of God. Yet he's down in the bottom of the boat sleeping. All right, so God shook him up in a major way. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. In other words, he waited until he got to a place where it's pray or die. And that's when he prayed. Well, you talk about a hard-headed, stubborn soul. All right? Jonah must have been one hard-headed, stubborn man. Now, look down, please. Look down, please, at verse 9. It says in verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Now, this is Jonah praying, all right? I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He went to Whale University to figure out that salvation is of the Lord. All right? He went to Whale University to figure that out. Well, he got a degree, though. he certainly did well. Salvation is of the Lord. And here's another one. This is kind of comical. In verse 10, it says, and the Lord. So not only did the Lord speak to Jonah, all right, and tell Jonah to go and pray, or go to Nineveh and preach, and he said no. So he ran, then he got thrown overboard, then he prayed. Now look at verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish. I wonder if the fish spoke back. Huh? Oh, I wouldn't think so, would you? How in the world could God speak to the fish? Well, God made the fish. So if he made it, he could sure tell it what to do, couldn't he? All right? So the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So 3 days and three nights, Jonah spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale, praying. He finally is praying. All right, let's pray right now, and then we'll look at Jonah's prayer. Father, thank you now for the word of God, and I pray that you will bless your word tonight. Encourage our hearts. Father, help us to realize the importance of prayer in our lives and to pray for one another, to pray for our family, to pray for our church. Father, just to have a heart and a mind that is concerned about praying for others. And Father, I ask you to draw us close to yourself tonight and give us a burden. Jonah waited until it was almost too late. I mean, right down to the wire, and then he prayed. Well, at least he prayed. And Father, help us to realize the importance of keeping short accounts with you so that when we pray, you hear and you bless as we pray. So give us a good service. May the Lord touch our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, last week we saw Jonah fleeing from the presence of the Lord. I remember years ago when, just shortly after I had come here as the pastor, I was preaching down in South Carolina somewhere. I don't even remember now where it was. But I was down in South Carolina, and it was late in in March, and there was a snow that came through up here, and it was ice down there in North Carolina as I was coming up that mountain down there, crazy mountain that weaves back and forth, and it was just ice and a mess on that mountain. But I remember that Glenn Matthews had given me a box of cassette tapes. Now, some of you young people are wondering, what? A box of cassette tapes. These tapes were preaching tapes. They had church services on them. And so I'm coming up the road listening to preaching by this fella from down in Georgia, and he was preaching on Jonah. I remember that so vividly, so well, because I remember how he was trying to give Jonah a little bit of grace, all right? He was trying to kind of not be as hard on Jonah as what maybe I've been in the last couple of services. And I just remember kind of smiling as he was making excuses for why Jonah did what he did. Well, folks, listen, there's no excuse for disobeying the will of God, all right? And so he was trying to explain the book of Jonah away, basically. And one of the things that he said was that Jonah was down in the bottom of that boat praying because he was seasick. I wonder what the Hebrew word for seasick is. I know what the English words are that describe Jonah. He was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. All right? And I mean, you can make this excuse and that excuse, but I don't think so. I think the problem with Jonah is he was running from the presence of the Lord, and everything that had given him or his life meaning up to that very moment, from the time that God first called him into the ministry until this very moment that we read about here in chapter 1 and verse 17, I mean, the meaning of his life was this call that God had given him. Everything he did revolved around that call. Just like everything Brother Matt does is around his call. Just like all of us, everything we do is around our call. All right? When God calls you, you just lose yourself in what God calls you to do. And so here is Jonah, and Jonah is called of God, and so what's he do? He gets up and goes the other direction. Now listen carefully, folks. Jonah had turned his back on God. He turned away and went the exact opposite direction. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, nope, I'm going to Tarshish. So instead of going the way he should have gone, he went the exact opposite direction, running from the presence of the Lord. And so Jonah had turned his back on God, and I can just imagine that naturally he thought God had turned his back on him. He thought he was going to get away with this. He thought he was going to get away with running from God. And so with dull hopelessness, the hopelessness of abandonment, Jonah sought refuge in sleep. In sleep. I had a roommate in college, and he just, I mean, he got through college by nothing but the grace of God, all right? You know, bless his heart. He every time he had a test, he would start going, oh, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And then we would say, well, you better study. You better get ready. That test is coming up. Now, you better apply yourself. This is what you came down here for. Now, come on, let's get with it. And we tried our best to motivate him. But you go out of the room for just a minute, come back, and he's in his bunk, sound asleep. Hey, don't you have a test? Oh, I'm so tired. Leave me alone. So we would just give up on him. Say, all right, you're on your own. And then he'd get a D minus on the test. I mean, just barely get by with everything that he every class that he took. He was just barely getting by. But you could find him asleep, and you knew when you found him asleep, he either had an exam coming up or a paper that was due. Every time. And then one of the guys, we had this English major, don't ask me why. We had this English major, and he was all into Shakespeare and all that stuff. And he was talking about how Shakespeare said that men go to sleep in order to skirt their responsibilities. And boy, that's the truth, isn't it? I mean, I didn't quote it exactly right, but that's what Shakespeare said. Men flee to sleep so they don't have to face the trials of life. And that's what Jonah did. I think very clearly This was just all a part of his running and fleeing from the presence of the Lord. So the captain of this ship had all of the mariners praying to their false gods. And he went down in the ship to look for Jonah. And when he found him, he said, "Wake up. Wake up, you lazy thing." That's in Hebrew, all right? You ought to thank God you have a pastor who can... Well, never mind. But anyway, wake up and pray to your God. We're all going to die here. What's wrong with you? Why are you asleep down here? Get up on the deck and help us. And so Jonah comes up on the deck, and I'm sure everybody laid an eyeball right on him, don't you? They probably looked at him like, man, you expect us to do all this? Get up here and help us. They're throwing stuff over. And the captain is saying, "Pray, men, pray." And so all of a sudden, things happen, and Jonah, they cast lots, and the lot falls on Jonah. And Jonah said, "Yep, I'm the problem. I'm the problem." You know why he knew he was the problem? Because he was the problem. That's how he knew. Yeah. Yeah. He knew he was the problem because he was the problem. No doubt about that. And so they said, "Well, we can't just kill a man here. We can't just pick him up and throw him into the sea." And so they said, "Row harder, gentlemen. Throw the goods overboard. We don't want to kill this man." But Jonah finally, when the storm only intensified, the men realized Jonah had to go. So they grabbed him and they threw him overboard. And the moment that they threw him overboard, now get this, folks, what happens? God prepared a great fish. God prepared a great fish. Don't you think those men... they didn't want to throw him over, but they threw him over, and when they did, the whale came and devoured him, swallowed him right up. I'm sure all those guys looked at one another and said, "Do you see that? Do you see that? Maybe there is something to his God. Maybe there is power in his God." And so they all started praying to Jehovah God, Jonah's God. You say, how'd they know about Jonah's God? Verse 9 of chapter 1. He said unto them, "I am an Hebrew and I fear the Lord." That's Jehovah God. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I fear God, the God of heaven. And so now... they realize when they throw Jonah over, the whale comes and swallows him up, and then the storm stops. Oh, yeah. And so they said, "Whoa, must be something to his God." And look what happened. Look what happened. We read in here that in verse 16, chapter 1, it says, "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." Well, I reckon they would. Wouldn't you? I mean, if you saw God intervene like that and they take the man that was the problem because he's fleeing from God, they throw him overboard, big fish comes up, devours him, swallows him right in front of all of them, and then the storm stops. That's what we read in verse 16, or verse 15, I'm sorry. It says in the last part, when they threw Jonah into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. So the sea calmed down, and that's when they turned to God. Isn't that amazing, folks? That to me is just, man, you talk about a powerful testimony. It's a shame Jonah had to be thrown into the sea. You know, if he had just repented of his sin right there. But there's no record of that. He does not pray. Listen to me now. He does not pray until he's already in the drink. He doesn't pray until chapter 2, verse 1. Wow. He could have avoided all that. All he would have had to do is repent of his sin and say, okay, God, I'll go where you want me to go. But he didn't do that. So they throw him overboard, chapter 2, verse 1. Then, I reckon so, don't you? Then Jonah prayed. Then. All right, so let's focus here for just a couple minutes now on Jonah's prayer. Isn't it amazing how when everything crashes and burns around us, all of a sudden we become real spiritually minded people? Isn't that amazing? You know, doctor gives a bad report and all of a sudden we feel led to go back to church. You know, well, praise the Lord, at least you come back. Some don't. Some don't. You know, the minute our world crumbles around us, then that's when we get spiritual. Well, I'm telling you, folks, God is not a blue light special from Kmart. All right? Now, a couple of things here. Even Jonah admits in verse 2 of chapter 2 that he cried out to the Lord by reason of his affliction. Look at verse 2. And said, he cries out and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Even Jonah admits. Now, folks, let me remind you again. He does not pray in chapter 1. No record of Jonah praying in chapter 1. Gets thrown into the sea, the next verse. Then Jonah prayed. All right? Then Jonah prayed. And even Jonah himself admits that he was praying because of his affliction, because of what God was doing to him at that moment for rebelling against his will. But you see, folks, when you are fleeing from the presence of the Lord, I mean, let's just be honest, prayer to God is really, when you're fleeing, prayer to God is the last thing you want to do. It shouldn't be, but it is. It shouldn't be at all, but it's the last thing you want to do. Jonah was running from God, and he knew he was running from God. So in his mind, all through this first chapter, he was probably thinking, pray? Mr. Captain, you want me to go up on deck and pray? Man, I don't want to pray. I'm running from God. I'm trying to get as far away from God as I can get. And you want me to pray? That's why he doesn't pray in chapter 1. He's not about to pray in chapter 1. He's running from God. He doesn't want to talk to God. The last thing on earth that Jonah would want to do was pray. And that could not have been a more self-fulfilling prophecy that Jonah made. I don't want to pray. Well, he didn't. But you see, when God reached out and got his attention, then he prayed. What do you think Jonah felt? What do you think flashed across his mind when all of a sudden those men throw him overboard, and the minute he hits the water, a big old whale comes up, swallows him? What do you think crossed his mind? You know, I've told you folks for 30 years now, I don't think that I've had people want to argue this with me, but I don't think that there's anything to this atheism stuff that people, well, I'm an atheist. No, you've been messed with. You're not an atheist. And I had a fellow on an airplane tell me that. He said, well, I'm an atheist. And I said, really? Yeah. I said, well, why are you an atheist? And he said, because I don't want to deal with God. I said, wait a minute. What was that? You don't want to deal with who? He said, well, you know what I mean. I said, no, explain yourself, Lucy. You know? But I'm sorry. I just don't believe that there's any such thing as a true atheist. And I've always followed that up with this. Let that atheist take a fork and stick it in a light socket and see who is the first person he or she cries out to. Yeah. Throw a toaster in the bathtub and just see what kind of atheist you're dealing with. Fleeing from the presence of the Lord. I think somebody's messed with your mind if you claim to be an atheist. And the main person that's dealt with your mind is the devil. The devil himself. Now, Christian, listen. God Almighty wants to have a close, personal relationship with you. God does not want you fleeing from his presence. He wants you running to his presence. He wants you coming to him. Why? Because he wants fellowship with you. God simply wants to bless your life. And God wants to use you for his honor and for his glory. Jonah would not listen in chapter 1. But isn't it interesting, in chapter 2, Jonah is all ears. He's all ears now. So where are we now in Jonah's story? Well, look at chapter 1 and verse 3. In chapter 1, verse 3, Jonah is running from God. Chapter 1, verse 17, old Jonah, running from God, ran smack into God. Right? And now in chapter 2 and verse 1, he is praying and he is running to God. It's not looking good for him. So he's running to God now. Jonah's prayer was an introspective examination of his own heart. In studying and preparing for these messages on Jonah, I've been amazed at how multitudes of commentators take a critical look at Jonah. All they want to do is just criticize the book of Jonah. You say, would you actually believe that a fish swallowed him up? Yeah, I do. I mean, Jesus said it happened. Jonah said it was a big whale, a big fish, but Jesus said it was a whale. And when you think about it, that makes perfect sense. well come and swallow up a man. It's happened before. It's happened before. And I think it happened with Jonah. Is chapter 2, they'll ask, is chapter 2 really a prayer? What a foolish question is that? Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah, what's the next word? I think this is a prayer. What do you think? Yeah. Then Jonah prayed. Well, I wonder what prayer means. Okay, you and me are going to have a conflict here. You don't question what the Word of God says. You believe it. You accept it. Well, was it really a whale? Couldn't it have been something else, like a leviathan of some kind? Oh, my. The Old Testament calls leviathan, that's a whale. It's a big fish. All right, now, well, did Jonah really die in the belly of that whale? Well, let me ask you a question. If we went out in the middle of the Mediterranean and grabbed a hold of you and threw you overboard, land is nowhere in sight, and we throw you over the ship, and you land in the water, and then this great big old whale comes up and grabs a hold of you, how many of you think you'd live through that? No. That's what makes this so wonderful. It is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and 3 days and three nights later came out. It's just like that high priest in the Holy of Holies. When he was finished, he came out. When he came out, all the priests cheered, yes, yes. They all became Baptocostals. All right? And then he went through the other veil and went in, and all the Jews that had gathered, they're all, yes, praise God. Why? Because the sacrifice had been accepted. And so when Jesus died, they put him in the ground, and 3 days later, just as he said, and keeping with the Old Testament picture of Jonah, Jesus came out of the grave. All right, so let me help you now. Look again at chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah, now what's the next word? Prayed. All right? Now, look here. I'm going to help you understand. All right? This is what this means. Verse 2, the first three words, means that Jonah prayed. All right? If I pass out a half a sheet of paper and going to give you a quiz, and I'd say, what does 2-1 mean? You would say, and Jonah, yes, y'all get an A. But these guys want to criticize. Oh, that's not really what it's saying. You say, well, why would they do that? Because they want to do anything and everything they can to discredit the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this is not a prayer because Jonah didn't ask for anything. And I thought to myself, that's right. You read this. He didn't ask God for a thing. Isn't that weird? You say, well, what's the prayer then? It's praise to God. It is glorifying God. Folks, don't forget He was thrown overboard. A whale swallowed him. Then he prayed. You say, well, how long would it have taken him to pray this prayer? You can read it in, what, a minute and a half? 2 minutes max? All right? 2 minutes max? Yeah. But he prayed. He prayed. But he didn't ask God for anything. You know, there's just times where you don't have a leg to stand on. You know, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? But boy, he knows that God's got him. He knows that God has him. Do you, since when is prayer confined to a petition? Do you remember Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 10? And she's on her face praying. She is praying, thanking God for giving her a son, and then she turns around and gives that son back to God. And so she starts praying, and there is not one thing in that prayer that Hannah asks of God. Not one thing. You say, well, what'd she do? She praised the Lord. She gave honor and glory to the Lord. She thanked the Lord for answering her prayer and giving her a child. But she didn't ask for anything. If you go over to the book of Luke in chapter 1, verse 46 through verse 55, Mary, they call it Mary's Magnificat. Well, what it is Mary's prayer. All right? It's Mary's prayer. And she prayed to God, and then through that entire prayer, you know what happened? She did not ask for one thing. So it's not unusual. And then here's a third one, Jonah. And Jonah prayed, didn't ask God for a thing. Didn't ask God for a thing. And it's interesting that the same Hebrew word, P-A-L-A-L, palal, is used in Hannah's prayer. It's also used in Jonah's prayer. And that word is used 79 times in the Old Testament scripture. And each and every time it is used, it is translated prayer. Jonah prayed. You say, well, it's not really prayer if you didn't ask for anything. Yeah, it is. You know, you don't have to go to God with the gimmies. You know? Give me this, give me that. You don't have to go to God with the gimmies. You ever just go to God and lift up His name? Just thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for His Word. Thank Him for, Him for sending His Son. Just don't ask for a thing. Just praise God. Just praise God. Years ago, I was flying on an airplane to speak. And I got on the plane. No, we were flying to a sword board meeting. That's what it was. Yeah, got out of Chicago, and Dr. Hiles got on the plane. Jack Hiles, he pastored First Baptist up there in Hammond, near, just outside of Chicago. And we were sitting in the waiting area there, waiting on the plane to get in. And I said, where you been? Where you been preaching? And so he went through this litany of places where he had been. And he said, "Oh, I got to tell you what happened." I said, "All right, I'm listening." And he said that he was at this church, and he preached that night, that Tuesday night, and he said revival broke out in that church. He said it was amazing. He said that they started singing, and then on the second or third stanza, all these people came to the altar and they were getting right with one another and then getting right with God. And folks were apologizing to one another for talking about them. And revival just broke out. I mean, he said it was the most amazing thing. He said we stood there for an hour and a half. And people were just getting right with the Lord. And I said, "Wow, that's awesome." He said, "Well, it was. The only problem was when I got to my room, I couldn't go to sleep." I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "I was having too much fun praising God for his blessing." He says about midnight, and he's in his room, and he said, I just started praising the Lord. He said, after a little while, I stood up in the bed, and I'm bouncing in the bed. Now, can you picture Jack Hiles jumping up and down in his bed? He was in his mid-60s. And he said, I was just jumping in the bed, praising God. Said, all of a sudden, there was a bang on the wall. And he's in there going, praise God, hallelujah. And then the phone rang. And it was the room next door. And the guy said, "Hey, buddy, what's going on in there?" He said, "I'm praising God." And the guy said, "Won't you sleep tonight and praise God in the morning?" Yeah, you don't ask for a thing, though. Just spend time with God. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Oh, he'll bless you. He'll meet your needs. Won't always give you everything you want, but he'll meet your needs. I just think that's awesome. A few years back, Lauren and my daughter, Lauren and Ava, came in. They flew up. That was a couple years ago now, I guess. And they spent the week at the house, and the other grandkids were there. They love it when their crazy aunt comes home. And so Karen said she needed me to go to the store. And I said, all right. So I got up and started through the kitchen. I said, all right, I'll be back. Lauren says, wait, Dad, wait, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the store. Oh, I want to go. Okay. You never been to the store before? Or, no, I want to spend some time with you. Oh, yeah. So I look at Ava. Ava goes, I'll go. I said, good. Then Olivia says, well, I'll go. And then Braden was there, and Braden said, well, I want to go. Well, we're going to have to rent a bus here in a minute. But that's all right. Everybody wants to be with Papa. I'm all for it. Yes, indeed. So we got out at the store, and Lauren comes over and puts her arm on my shoulder, and then Ava puts her arm around the other shoulder, and then O's shoving the both of us, and we're just having a blast. Oh, I was eating that up. And that's all God wants from us. Just be in his company and enjoy him. Now, one more thing, and then I'll let you go eat pizza. This is one of the greatest lessons that I found in Jonah's prayer. Jonah came to himself. He came to himself. There was another fellow that Jesus told us about. They called him the prodigal son. And you remember, he came to himself. Yeah, he came to himself. If you'll look at verse 3, it says of chapter 2, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and waves passed over me." Wow. "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds, the seaweed, was wrapped around my head." "I went down," look at verse 6, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." Now watch. "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." When he got down to where he had no other place to go, he said, "I got my senses back. I remember the Lord." So he came to himself. And folks, it's a great day when anyone comes to themselves. Jonah finally came to himself. And when he came to himself in verse 8, and when he came to himself, he said, look at verse 8, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." You say, "Pastor, what does that mean? What's Jonah saying there? What's it mean?" Well, listen carefully. This is an accurate description now. An accurate description of Jonah's own troubles. Here's what he's saying. Lying vanities means all the various inventions with which men deceive themselves. And you know, we come up with all kinds of things to deceive ourselves, don't we? You know, you going to heaven when you die? Well, I hope so. You know, I've been a charter member of the church for years now. Oh, you trusting the church to get you to heaven? Well, I've been real faithful. You ought to see my Sunday school pen. It goes all the way down to the floor. I trip over when I walk in. Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mom and Dad are buried out back. They're buried out back at the church. And you're never going to get them out of that church. That church could be as dead as last year's bird's nest. But you're not going to get them out of that church. Because of vanity. Vanity. Yeah. You know what that is? That's idolatry. Jonah is speaking here of idols. These range from crude images of wood or stone or metal to the many unseen idols that men allow to usurp the place of God in the heart. And let me remind you, 1 John 5:21, John said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And then I hear folks mockingly say, well, Christians cannot be idolaters. Not only can they, folks, but they worship idols daily. Make no mistake about it. So what was Jonah's idol? Self-will. Self-will. Yeah. God said, go to Nineveh. Nope. I'm going to Tarshish. No, I want you to go to Nineveh. Nope, going to Tarshish. And by the way, look down at chapter 3 and verse 1. All right, the whale has vomited Jonah out upon dry ground. And then look at verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the, what? Second time. And look what God said. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now, folks, that's the same commission he got in the first chapter. Go to Nineveh. So God didn't change his plan, did he? No, but he sure changed Jonah. He sure changed Jonah. The prodigal prophet learned the hard way that idolatry does not pay. How true that is. How true that is. But yet, so many people cling to their idolatry, and they do so at the expense of forsaking their own mercy. So Jonah found out that while God is very merciful, there are some things God cannot tolerate. An idol-worshiping Christian is one that God cannot stomach. Flee idols. So Jonah is running now towards Nineveh. All right, look. We'll look at chapter 3 probably next week, all right? But I hope you see the importance of just spending time with God. That's what the Lord wants. He wants it from you. He wants it from me. Let's bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. I pray now you'll bless this to our hearts. Help us to see ourselves in Jonah. Help us to understand that you want to fellowship with us because there's some way, some fashion, you desire to use us just as you used Jonah. But Father, we've got to be willing to be used. We can't flee from your presence. And so I ask you, Father, to stir our souls tonight. Give us a real heart that wants to go after your heart. So bless your word. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder how many folks here tonight will say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart tonight. I know God wants my fellowship. He reminds me of that all the time. But I haven't been fellowshipping with him the way I should. Would you lift your hand and hold it up right now and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. God bless. God bless. Yes. How about upstairs? Just lift your hand and hold it up. Pastor, pray for me. Upstairs, yes. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Thank you, folks. You may put your hands down. Thank you so much. All right, Father, you've seen our hands, and our hands, of course, represent our hearts. And so deal with us tonight, Father. Help us not to flee your presence, but to run to your side. Bless us, Lord, we pray now. I pray for all these folks who raised their hand. Give us the victory, Father. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.